Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And for today, it's an interesting one because we are still playing around in the field of economics, but today we are looking at well-being economics. And we are joined on the line by Professor Talita Geiling, who is an economist with the University of Johannesburg, specializing in well-being economics. And she's just going to be running us through some of the latest data that they have done on sentiment in the country and how angry South Africans are after their first weekend under a lockdown. Prof, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for the invite.
No. Thank you so much for joining us for today. I think before we sort of get into the feeling of South Africans in the economy, since the lockdown began this past Friday, well-being economics, which side of economics is that? How do you guys sort of go about gathering data, doing your work? Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, well-being economics is a relatively new side of to economics. It's only developed around about 1970s, and it was with the realization that if we look at normal economic measures, something like gross domestic product, it doesn't give you or doesn't reveal the well-being of people. Now, previously, if we look at it, you actually measured, or what economists did, is they looked at economies and they said that it's going well in the economy if the gross domestic product is growing. Now, that is not true because a measure like GDP can only measure income. It's got nothing to do with well-being or very little. It's only one dimension. So well-being is a much wider concept. It's multidimensional. It includes health, education, social welfare, environment. So you can't only use one measure to measure well-being. And then any country, the main aim is to maximize the well-being of the people. But how do we know that we've maximized it if we can't measure it? So well-being is how do we measure the well-being of people? And that is especially something relatively new in economics and also something that the latest Nobel Prize winners, that is what they got their Nobel Prizes for. So it's more into behavioral economics. And that's what a well-being economist do, is measure well-being.
So in terms of that well-being that you've just highlighted, how are South Africans doing now that we've had the COVID-19 crisis that's literally changed our lives in the last couple of weeks? We're now in a period of lockdown. What is the data showing you guys?
So we're measuring well-being at real time. This is also something very new, internationally very new. We actually got recognized internationally for the method we are using. We're using big data and we extract tweets from big data for the whole of South Africa. And then we run it through an algorithm, firstly to determine the sentiment of each tweet, and then through an algorithm that actually calculates the happiness index or score. It's rated from 0 to 10, with 5 being neutrals, thus neither happy or unhappy. Now, at the moment, normally we find that South Africans will be at a happiness level on average of 6.4. That's not great compared to other countries, but that is the average for South Africans. And what we have found since the lockdown is this has decreased to a level of 5.2 approximately. So much lower than our normal averages.
So in terms of that, how do you sort of gauge what the actual, because you said you've got that scale, like, does the scale actually give you what each emotion is? For example, if 0 is sad, 10 is happy, at what point do you then decide that, okay, fine, South Africans are sad about the lockdown as opposed to being angry about the lockdown? Because both, I can guess, are negative emotions. How do you guys sort of make that distinction?
Mindy, that's a very, very good question. This is an additional analysis. So one part of our research is just creating the index. And on the index, we can only say that number 10 is being very happy, number 0 is being very sad. So it's a scale from 0 to 10. But lately, we've also started analyzing the emotions in the tweet. So we distinguish between 8 different emotions, which will be anger, joy, anticipation, disgust. So actually, when we look at a tweet, we can see what emotion is captured in that tweet. This is quite advanced, I will say, machine learning. We call it a lexicon that actually is part of sentiment analysis, which can then pick up the emotion. So this is something in addition to the happiness index. And that's why we can actually analyze what are the emotions currently in South Africa. As we said, then the emotion that measures the strongest is anger.
Oh, it actually seems quite interesting. In terms of data sources, I think this one I'm quite interested to know because people are indoors. It sounds like you guys are taking a lot of this data from, I guess, what's going on online. Which platforms do you sort of focus on, and where are South Africans, I guess, voicing their frustrations a lot from the research that you guys have done?
So at the moment, remember, this is all very new, and the platform we are using is Twitter. The reason we are using Twitter is we would have loved to use Facebook or Instagram or any of the other social platforms, but there is such a strict privacy on those that the only one we can really access and actually extract all tweets made by South Africans is Twitter at this stage. So we have been using Twitter to measure happiness since April last year before the elections. And we found that it actually gives us a very, very good indication of the sentiment of South Africans. We also run the same project in New Zealand and Australia. And remarkably, how robust this measure is.
No, definitely does sound interesting. Now, I can almost guess that you guys must have some other applications that you guys have for this data, because it's one thing to collect data, but what do you then do with it? Can a person perhaps predict what the markets are going to do, or how people feel about a certain economic policy, like the budget, for example? How far can you take this type of analysis from what you've seen?
You are spot on there. So we are in the academia, and our main purpose is obviously not just to collect data, but to actually interpret it and use it. So what we've done so far is definitely looking at certain events and how it will influence the sentiment of people. And we've done this across the three nations that we're working in. And initially when we started it, it was the elections in May. So we looked at how the sentiment changed during the election phase. But then we followed, and if we look at the things that mostly affect the sentiment of South Africans, a lot about it is politics. Then sports have an amazing effect. The highest that the happiness index ever were when the South Africans won the Rugby World Cup. It went up to a 7.1, which is like amazing for South Africans. So sports play a big role. And then social events, concerts, soccer. Soccer plays an enormous role, not only South African soccer, but also international soccer. So it's such a pity that we don't have sports at the moment, because that's a lot why we don't see the joy in South Africa. South Africa is sports driven. Then interesting that our newspaper that we actually released is how we can predict market movements using sentiment. So this is a paper only released last week. We completed it last week. This is after a year's intensive research. We followed markets, 8 different markets across the world. 6 of them were developed markets like the S&P 500. 2 of them were developing markets. And what we looked at is just tweets in which we have stock markets included. So we extracted certain tweets across the world related to stock markets, and then looked at those tweets. We analyzed the sentiment of those tweets and then had a look and see how well we can predict market movements, if a market is going up or down. And we did it quite successfully. Our results are looking really, really good.
And in terms of that type of analysis, because I can imagine that the application for that definitely seems quite immense. From what you're seeing right now, is it really that off that we might see this negative 2%, I guess, GDP growth that people are talking about? One, two, there's been a big sell-off across the markets around the world because of COVID-19. In South Africa, lots of companies are flailing at the moment. Have any of that also been factored in? Had you sort of been able to say, okay, fine, this is what people are feeling at the moment, and it's likely that in the next few weeks, these are the things that we're going to see based on the sentiment that people have right now?
So the only thing I can tell you for a fact is the tweets that we have. So that's basically historically. As soon as I start predicting, I have to use theory and my economic theory and experience. So from what we see in the tweets, definitely people are angry about Moody's downgrade. The point is, the whole world at the moment is suffering from COVID-19. And for Moody's to actually give us a rank us as junk or give us junk status at this stage, I mean, we are really struggling. It's not just South Africa, it's the whole world. We see a dip in all markets. So people are angry about it. If you ask me about what do I think about growth and predictions, this is now moving out of the well-being side. This is pure economics. And if that's what you ask me, I can give you theoretical answers on that. Obviously, markets recover. You know that they recover every time. After 2008, they recovered. After any of the Asian crises, they recover over time. So at any stage, it's historically been shown. After a recession or a shock in the market, as we call it in economics, we do have recovery, though there's a few things that count against South Africa at this stage, which makes it different than previously in the history, which means that the theory won't always be perfectly because we have never had these specific circumstances.
Okay. Now, I totally understand you on that end. So coming back to the actual data and some of the anger that you are seeing in people's tweets and that sentiment, what are people actually saying, I guess, about, let's say, the Moody's downgrade, for example? What are people actually saying? Are they saying that it's unfair that Moody's is doing this? Are they saying that the government should have had better policies in place? What are the actual comments that are coming through? What's the prevalent opinion at the moment?
What we really pick up is in tweets, people are not really very concerned about economics, even the budget. You don't see much about it. And that is really something that I'm worried about, that people, it doesn't really affect their, or they don't know enough about economics to realize the full impact of it. We definitely picked up something on Moody's, which to me is really good because it means some people is at least following the economics. And what we did pick up on Moody was that they are angry and angry about that we have been downrated. But what they don't pick up is the implications of that. I mean, there's major implications on the debt side and the fact that interest rates will increase over time. The fact that South Africa is in a debt crisis at this stage, but that you won't see reflected in the tweets, because I just think that South Africans at this stage, there are so many other things that affect them that the macro side of economics, we can't really see in tweets. On the micro level, we do, because we see people are concerned about their jobs. We see retailers complaining about their profit. So micro, we definitely see, but the influence of macroeconomic detail, we don't really pick up in tweets.
And then on that, because you're now talking about the level of conversation that's going on in South Africa as it pertains to economics, I guess on the macro level, how does that compare with the level of conversation that you're seeing in the other countries that you guys are doing similar, are keeping up with similar metrics? Are people in New Zealand, I think that's one of the countries you mentioned, are they talking about economics? Are they talking about some of these big macro issues?
It is so interesting to see that in New Zealand and Australia, which are both developed countries, that the reactions are so similar to South Africa. New Zealand recently had the biggest strike ever. And it was not reported in tweets. We didn't pick it up. So it was economic strike from teacher side. And it really, it almost didn't reflect in the sentiment of the people, which is a major experience. But if the All Blacks win the rugby, you can immediately see it in the happiness index. What we pick up is politics. Politics definitely has an effect, and we can see the changes. Australia has elections last year as well, and we could see that had a massive effect on the happiness index. But economics, especially at a macro level, we don't see much of it. In South Africa now, we really see concerns because now it's affecting people's livelihoods at a micro level. And then you pick that up in the happiness index.
And then lastly, one of the things I'm quite interested in, when you guys are analyzing this information online on Twitter or whatever platform you end up using subsequently, what type of factors do you guys sort of feed into the algorithm that the algorithm needs to look out for and to gauge that sentiment? What data points have you guys made the algorithm look out for or make, I guess, assumptions or make some type of judgments around?
The sentiment analysis has been around for ages. It's not something new. So what we use is you've got different software and different machine learning packages that you can use. Some all have advantages and disadvantages. The one that we are using, I think, is one of the best at this stage. It gives us some of the most accurate sentiment analysis, and we've obviously been using various ones, correlating it, doing robustness checks. But what it does, it reads the whole sentence. And then from the whole sentence, it will give you an idea if this is positive or negative. So it won't just pick up words, but actually a whole sentence. And then it's a lexicon. It's something like a vocabulary it has. And from that, it can compare to that to tell you if the sentiment is positive or negative. So at this stage, that is what we use. It is called Sazuhet. It's one of the packages that we're using. There are so many of them, but running various tests on them, we found that it gives us the most accurate predictions. And at any stage, anybody can go and have a look at our website, which is www.gnh.today, and you can see the happiness index live. So it is on the website and you can follow it live. As things happen, you can see our measure and you can see the happiness levels of South Africans. Also of New Zealanders and Australians, because we're using the same website.
Okay, cool. So that's been us. It's a very fascinating conversation just talking about well-being economics with Professor Thelita Greling, who is an economist at the University of Johannesburg, telling us about the mood and sentiment in the South African economy at the moment, just letting us know that South Africans at the moment are quite angry just around what's going on with COVID-19, the lockdown, and together with the Moody's downgrade, which happened this past weekend. Also just highlighting the fact that she's quite worried about the fact that there isn't a lot more conversation and just around the economy and some of the pressing issues that affect everyone, bread and butter issues that affect everyone. On social media, they're using Twitter as a place to actually mine this data. But interestingly, she says that this is in line with the level of conversation that they're seeing in the other countries that they are doing this in, and that is in Australia and in New Zealand. Prof, could we get that website again that people can access the happiness, the gross national happiness?
It is www.gnh. That is for gross national happiness dot today.
So, what you need to remember is gross national happiness. So that's a GNH dot today. Thank you so much to Prof. Grayling for joining us. She is from the University of Johannesburg.
This is Mudiwa's Tech.
Quite a fascinating discussion there with Prof. Grayling, and it actually then signals one of the things that seems to have become a trend. There's a firm that I know called Brand's Eye, which does sentiment analysis, and they take an aggregate of conversations, thousands and thousands of social media posts, extending, you know, Facebook, Twitter, etc. So it does definitely seem that there's an application from saying what people are talking about, what people are saying, and actually analyzing that, because the advantage, as far as I understand, is that you get unsolicited queries, unsolicited feedback, because a lot of the time people get to know information from things like surveys and the like. So it's actually quite good that you then have unsolicited information. It's unbiased, because the person doesn't have any influence from anyone else. So they just take how they feel, they put it out on social media. It's their honest feedback, and that's that. And then you can then gauge how people actually feel from that point of view. And it also allows for real-time analysis. I think the prof actually mentioned that fact, that you get to know what's happening like right now in the moment. So definitely good from that point of view. Behavioral economics, as she said, is sort of a new branch of economics, but definitely fascinating, because you can say that the economy is growing and GDP growth is doing X, Y, and Z, but what does that actually mean for people on the ground? It'll be interesting to see what the mood or sentiment of South Africans is at the end of the period of the national lockdown. If that lockdown does get extended, do you know, how does that feed into the general mood of South Africans? Will they be more pessimistic about the economy, because that seems to be a general mood? How much worse can it actually get might be a thought that is on people's minds. But we wait and see, and definitely looking forward to engaging about this a bit more in future. So that's been it for today's edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're hashtag BD Spotlight. And then remember that you can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gabasa of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.